It was April 6th, 1943, when the Schutzstaffel, the German SS, came and took Dietrich Bonhoeffer and put him in the Tegel prison. Now, you may remember from previous weeks that when we last left Bonhoeffer, he was actually in charge of a seminary in Finkenwalde. And he was at that seminary for about 2 years, but then the SS came and shut down the seminary. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer then went over to work for the German CIA, the Abwehr, because his brother-in-law worked for the CIA, and he wanted Dietrich Bonhoeffer there. But it wasn't necessarily to work for the CIA. He invited Bonhoeffer to be there because there was a movement within the German Abwehr to overthrow Hitler. And Bonhoeffer's brother-in-law had asked him to come to work for the Abwehr to be able to go outside of Germany and meet with other religious leaders and let them know that not everybody in Germany was behind Hitler. And so Bonhoeffer did do this. He went to various church leaders in different countries around the world and told them about the fact that there were people within Germany that were not happy with what Hitler was doing and the direction Hitler was taking the country. And he did that. You could almost call it like a German Spring, because there were people that were inside Germany. They wanted the world to know that not everybody was behind Hitler. But as part of that, the Abwehr was also doing other things. And one of the things that they did was that they smuggled some Jewish people outside of Germany into Switzerland, 14 of them. And when the SS found out about this, they came, they raided the Abwehr, and they took a lot of the people and they threw them in prison. As they started doing research and finding documents, Dietrich Bonhoeffer's name came up. And so they arrested him in 1943 and they put him in prison, the Tegel prison. So while he is there in prison, what do you think Bonhoeffer did? Now remember, it was 4 years after he'd published this book that we're going through, Life Together. And chapter 3 of this book, which we're looking at today, talks about the day alone or the day of prayer. And it is highly likely that while he was alone in the prison, at Tegel prison, that Dietrich Bonhoeffer spent a fair amount of time in prayer. What else are you going to do? And while he was there, I'm sure he prayed wholeheartedly. And you know, we as a society, we pray a lot. Prayer is a big thing, not only to us as Christians, but there are a lot of people that pray. If you look at our gospel lesson today, it talks about Jesus healing the leper, and then right after he heals the leper, what does he do? He goes off to himself and he prays. In our Old Testament lesson, the Ecclesiastes, that says that there is a time for silence and a time for speaking. There is a time for prayer. And then Paul, as he writes to the Thessalonians in his first letter, says, I pray for you constantly. Prayer is a big part of the Christian life, but folks, prayer is a part of everybody's life. If you look at statistics, you will find out that over 80% of the United States spends time frequently in prayer. 80%. 60%, actually it's 58% of the people in the United States pray at least once a day. Atheists and agnostics pray once a day. 6% of them pray once a day. Agnostics and atheists. This is from research done by the Pew Foundation. Now I sit there and I look, who are they praying to? I don't know, but they do. Prayer is a big thing in culture, in our culture. But there is a big difference between Christian prayer and prayer that the world might do around us. And today we're going to look at chapter 3 of Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, Life Together, and we're going to talk about prayer, because in this chapter he talks about what is the difference between Christian prayer and a non-Christian prayer. And he says there's really three things that go into Christian prayer. And the first thing is this: in Christian prayer, we are reflecting on God's word. In Christian prayer, we are reflecting on God's word. For a Christian, prayer is always centered in God's word. Last week we talked about the day together, and we talked about how Christians should read large passages of Scripture and cover the Scripture, but on the day alone, the day of prayer, a Christian is encouraged to spend some time reflecting on shorter passages of Scripture. And instead of going broad, you go deep. And there are a lot of passages of Scripture that you could spend a week on praying about, reflecting on. What does that mean? There are words in Scripture that you can reflect on. What does this mean? Words like joy, words like peace, grace. You could spend a lifetime on grace. Mercy, sanctification, love, righteousness. All of these words you could spend a lifetime reflecting. And what Bonhoeffer says is that first and foremost in a Christian prayer, it is not that you are reflecting on anything else but God's Word and letting God's Word guide and direct you in prayer. If you look at a lot of the religions out there, the Eastern religions particularly, when they go to prayer and meditation, it's to take the mind and get everything out of the mind, to take all the evil thoughts and put it out of your mind, and to really dig deep and look inside yourself to find your inner being. Well, folks, our inner being is very sinful. And if I spent a lot of time reflecting on my own inner being, I would be very frightened because I'm a sinful man. What Luther and Bonhoeffer say is that prayer should be reflected around God's Word and His holiness first and foremost. I'll give you an example of this. This last week, I went to a pastor's retreat, and as we were coming back from the pastor's retreat, there were four of us in a minivan, and we always get these conversations started, because you got a long drive. We got a conversation started about the role of the prophet in the world of the church today, because the Old Testament prophets would come and proclaim to society, and yet our Christian church isn't proclaiming as much as perhaps we should. And when we do proclaim, society turns us off. So how does the church proclaim in a prophetic manner what God's Word is to society? And we had a three-hour discussion on this. So we ended up that I still had a two-hour drive by myself in the car. And so I got in the car, and I'm driving down, and I'm still reflecting on this conversation that we had. And I ended up moving over to the book of Amos because it's one of my favorite books, and I think we're going to study it this summer in our Bible study, because Amos was an Old Testament prophet, and he talked a lot about how to prophetically speak to society. And then I remembered that Amos was a fig slitter. And then I remember in chapter 2, he talks about the rich people and calls them the cows of Bashan. And then I remembered about how a car hit a cow in the middle of Vale Road. I have ADHD, you see. And I don't know how we got from that conversation to me thinking about this big black cow sitting on the side of Vale Road about 4 years ago, but that's where I ended up. But see, that's okay, because I'm a redeemed child of God. You are a redeemed child of God. When you reflect on God's Word, He may take you in directions you have absolutely no idea, but the fact is He is working on your life through His Holy Word. In my family, when we were younger, we would sit around the table and we'd go around and I'd ask all my kids about their day, how their day was. Fine, fine, fine. There was one child that would start from 6 o'clock in the morning and go all through the day and wind around and go all different places. But you see, I knew that she was my child. I still loved her. And God's like that. Wherever your meditation and prayer takes you, you are never far from God. He was always there patiently watching you, guiding you, being beside you in that part of prayer. So the first part of prayer is meditation. But then the second part of prayer is, where does that meditation take you? And according to Bonhoeffer, that meditation should take you into yourself, to where you look at yourself and reflect upon how God wants to change you based upon that meditation upon His Word. And we are all sinful people, and we are all in need of God forming us and shaping us. And there's that great image of a potter taking clay, and that's what God is like, a potter and the clay. Except in my life, I feel like I'm a piece of wood and He's a Dremel tool. And there are some parts of my life that are more like steel that He is really grinding away at, trying to change. And that is what the image is of God going and changing our life. Prayer should first and foremost be reflection on God's word, and then we should take that and say, what does God want us to do with that? And then the third point is this. After we've reflected on God's word, after we've applied that to ourselves and God dremels us out, then and only then do we pray for those around us in intercessory prayer. Because after you've gone through that exercise and now you think about people in your community that need prayers, now you are prepared to pray for them. Why? Because a lot of times when we pray for others, we see ourselves as better than them. But when you've gone through the process of meditating on God's word and then applying that to your own life, and now you pray to others, you realize wholeheartedly that you are no better than anybody else. That we both come before the throne of God in humility because all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have. We are equal before God. So when we do intercessory prayer for other people, it's not over them, it's beside them, it's behind them, it's with them before the throne of God. Today we're going to be commissioning Stephen ministers. And that's the model that they follow. They are there to walk beside people who are hurting, people who are broken, to take them through the cross and help them become complete before God again. And they've gone through a lot of training, 20 sessions, 50 hours, all this training, and what they've learned is that they are there to be Jesus for other people, to walk beside. And they will use this model that they are no better than anybody else. They are there to walk beside. What a great thing. That is the threefold way of prayer in the Christian life, according to Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Now, what does that mean? It means this. Here's Dietrich Bonhoeffer sitting in prison and praying. And he's reflecting on God's word. He did have a Bible later on, but early on he didn't have a Bible. He was reflecting on God's word. He was applying that word to himself, and then he was praying for other people. And when he did that, he realized that he was not alone. That the whole church of God was with him in that prison cell. That he was never alone. Because you and I are never alone. When we follow that model, what it does is it also reminds us that we are part of the church of God. And whatever prisons we may exist in our life, whether it's an actual prison or it's a prison of sin, we are not alone in that prison of sin. The whole church of God is with us in a community. And even though we pray in that threefold model, we realize that we are never, ever alone. For we are redeemed children of God. And all the people that are the church are around us and supporting us and are with us wherever we go. In Jesus' name. Amen. My life before you, I was a flame burning down. I was burning.